Today's scripture reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, through to chapter 5, verse 7. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. May God bless the reading of his word to us. Amen.
Grand, thank you. What a passage. There's all sorts of good stuff in there. Sexual immorality, greed, stealing. I could give you a really good fire and brimstone sermon this morning, couldn't I? I'm not going to. Maybe another day. Because the passage as a whole is not about the particular sins it talks about. It's about the old way of life and the new way of life. In the first part of this letter, Paul, who wrote it, endeavoured to make it as clear as he possibly could that being a Christian was something new. It was something different from what had gone before. No longer Gentiles who were far from God or Jews under the law, but a new humanity, one family, adopted by God, forgiven by his grace. No longer dead in sin, but alive in and through Jesus Christ. And here in this passage, Paul writes about what that difference from being dead in sin to alive in Jesus, what that difference really looks like. He writes about how we live lives in a way that reflects that new inner reality. He encourages us, we who are loved by God, saved by Jesus, to walk in the way of love. I'm going to jump about a bit this morning in this passage. It might help you to have Ephesians 4 and 5 open in front of you, either in a Bible or on an app. I will not be telling you what verse I'm in, so you can play a game where you try and work out where I am if you get too bored of looking at me. I want us to start by thinking about old and new. Taking off the old way of life and putting on a new one. Because I think for some of us, this might be quite hard. Some of us, maybe it's easy. My parents are both followers of Jesus. You may have met them. They've come and worshipped with us a number of times. I have been part of a church family for as long as I can remember. I made my first commitment to Christ at the age of 4. I was baptized at 12. I went to Bible college at 18, and I went back again at 28. I don't really have an old way of life. Not to say I've always been perfect all those years. Not like the mostly Gentile church that Paul is writing to. Those that Paul writes to literally worshipped other gods before they came to follow Jesus. Even the Jewish believers had a fundamentally different way of thinking about God and salvation and our relationship with him. But I've never really had an old way. And maybe that's the same for you too. Maybe it's not. It might be that in the past you lived a life of hedonism, relentlessly pursuing sex and power and money. And maybe that passages that speak of taking off the old and putting on the new resonate deeply with you. Or it's quite possible nothing quite so dramatic has ever gone on in your life. That you were a pretty good person before you came to faith and have continued to be a pretty good person since. Or that you cannot remember a time when you weren't part of the family of God, like me. Whatever your life experience, though, I think this idea of taking off the old and putting on the new in this passage still has something important to say. Let's step back a moment and recall the conversation we were having a few weeks back about sin. I call it a conversation. I was just talking at you. Sin, fundamentally, is a failure to live as God created us to live. It's what happens when our relationship with God is broken. We fail to properly bear the image of God, to show creation what he's like, because we live as we think best. It doesn't always make us terrible people who are greedy and angry and who lie. Because those behaviours, all the bad things that Paul talks about in this passage, are not the real problem. The actual bad things we do are not the real problem. Rather, the way we behave is a symptom of something far deeper. The way we behave is a symptom of something far deeper. We probably all know by now some of the symptoms of COVID-19 are dry cough, high temperature, loss of smell or taste. But we also know, as we have been told many times, that it is entirely possible to have COVID and have no symptoms. So too of sin. We can be living without Jesus as Lord of our lives and still be good people. You may well know plenty of good people for whom Jesus is not Lord of their lives. It's entirely possible that we can be adopted children of God and still have some of the symptoms of sin. We'll come to that in a bit. Paul says that the Gentiles, those who do not know God, they have been made, those who have not been made new, that they are futile in their thinking, that they are ignorant, that they lack understanding. Their problem stems from not knowing. It stems from not knowing God. Their mindset is wrong because they do not know him. They are disorientated. They are orientated towards their own desires rather than being orientated towards God. If they do not repent and turn to face him, they will never see him. If they do not repent and turn to face him, they will never know him. They will never be made new. In Ephesians 4:17, Paul writes, "You must no longer live as the Gentiles do. You must take off your old self." And this isn't just about doing things differently to how you did them before you knew Jesus. It's not about just doing things differently. It's about Jesus making a way for us to be different. Before Jesus made a way for our relationship with God to be restored, the old way we were in, it was impossible before then for us to live as God made us to. It was impossible for us to properly bear God's image, to be people of the kingdom of God. But now, the new way, because of what Jesus has done in and through him, this new way means that that relationship can be restored. We take off the old way, the sinful way, which means living as we think best. Living as we think best often leads to a pursuit of wealth, of sex, of power. Living as we think best often ends up in deceit and bitterness and malice. But these are the symptoms. It leads to these symptoms, and they are the result of the root problem, which is God not being in his rightful place as king of our lives. Paul urges us to take off the former way of life and to put on something new. He says we should do this by being made new in the attitude of our minds. Take off the old way and put on the new is a deliberate, conscious act as we choose God's way rather than ours. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, for those of us who are children of God, there is a new path to walk. We are called to walk in the way of love. There is a deep reality here. Something changes within us when we become Christians. Our outward actions might not change too much. We might have always been generally nice people, and we might continue to be. But when we set God in his rightful place in our lives, when we become kingdom people, we are made a new creation. Something fundamental has changed about our very being. Have you ever watched a child open a new toy at Christmas only to find out that it has no batteries with it? It's heartbreaking, isn't it? You know, my dad always, whenever you asked him, "What is it you want for Christmas, Dad?" he would say, "Chocolates and batteries." And the chocolate was always for him, and the batteries were always so that he never had to have that disappointing feeling when we went, "There's no batteries." So he always had some, so we could use whatever it is that we got for Christmas. And this is us. This is the sort of change we go through in Jesus. It's like putting the batteries in. We are completed and able to work and function the way that we are supposed to. We are now alive. We are whole. We are a new thing. We are a useful thing. It's a fundamentally important change. Even if, just like that toy, outwardly we look much like we did before. But once we have been made new, once we have been adopted, joined the family, the body, once we have those batteries in place, there is potential for whole new things, for us to walk a new path, for us to walk in the way of love. In this, Jesus is our example. His love that led him to the cross is our example. But it is just potential once we have the batteries in. Clearly, this passage talks about an actual change in behavior, and that change in behavior from going to deceit to truth, from going from anger to kindness, from obscenity to thanksgiving, it's not something that just magically happens. When you become a Christian, you don't magically become better instantly. You might be orientated in the right way, but you still have to walk in it. And this is something Paul is telling the Ephesian church they have to work on. They have to deliberately take off the old way and put on the new. There's a parallel passage to this one in Colossians 3, which explicitly says that we should clothe ourselves with the virtues that come with walking in the way of love. It's this idea that we should take off the old way and put on the new. It's helpfully conveyed in Scripture with the metaphor of getting dressed.
You can whistle if you like. Sorry there.
It's a metaphor that talks of taking off the old and putting on the new in the same way we would get dressed, of taking off the clothes that we have been wearing and putting on new ones. And if you're anything like me, it doesn't take very long for any new set of clothes that you're wearing to get dirty. You wear them for a little bit and before long, it's ready, time to take them off and put on a new set. It is not unusual for me to go through 3 different sets of clothes in a day. Maybe I just smell a bit more than the average person, I don't know. We need fresh ones. It's a really good metaphor for what this passage is saying to us. For this idea of taking off the old and clothing ourselves anew, it appears a few times in the New Testament. And the way that it is written conveys the meaning of an ongoing act. It isn't something that just happens once. You take off the old, you put on the new, and you're done for the rest of your life. You don't get a new set of clothes that you can live in for the rest of your days. But rather, as part of the process of being made new, part of living as the people of God, we have to keep taking off the old and putting on the new. And it is something that you have to think about too. You cannot accidentally get undressed and dressed again. If the things that we do which are harmful to others are a symptom of sin, of our broken relationship with God, then the good things mentioned in this passage, truth and righteousness and holiness, building others up and kindness and compassion and forgiveness and love, these things are symptoms of our new relationship with God, of the Holy Spirit's work within us. And we are called to make sure that the symptoms of the Spirit in us are clear. That, to badly mix metaphors, is about us bearing good fruit. Our relationship with God, being part of this family, gives us potential to live as kingdom people, to live his way, to imitate him, to show the world what God is like. We have that potential, but we have to work to bring it out. It's deliberate. Just like when you wake up each morning, your body doesn't automatically get itself dressed. You have to think about what you're going to wear. You have to make an effort to take off your night clothes and put on hopefully something appropriate for the day ahead to make sure you're dressed in the way you should be for whatever task you're about to do. You have to make a deliberate act, a deliberate effort as God's people to take off the old way and to put on the new, to stop walking our way and to walk in the way of love. Sadly, like a trolley with a wonky wheel, if we don't make an effort to walk in the way of love, we'll end up finding ourselves heading back in our own direction again, living as we think best rather than living as God has called us to. We have been saved as a wonderful gift of grace by the work of Jesus. We have been adopted into the family of God. And now, as part of this wonderful family, we find that there are rules to live by, that we have a part to play, that just like being in any family, there are some jobs around the house that we have to do. There is a certain standard expected of us. We need to think about how we are clothing ourselves. Paul gives us all sorts of examples in this passage about what we need to take off and what we should put on. We're going to look at a few of them briefly in a moment, but the key is in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us. Most of the time, you do not sit down and teach a child to talk. They do not just wake up one day able to talk all of a sudden, or the child just sits down and focuses really hard and then they can do it. Children learn to talk by imitation. They hear others speak and they copy it. And it is the same for us as we seek to walk in the way of love. We do it by following the example of God, by looking at the generous love of Jesus, at the way in which he lived and interacted with us, and then for us to do the same. I think it's important too that in this passage, in all the examples that Paul gives, every time he says we need to take off these bad behaviours and put on some good ones, every time he talks about the symptoms of sin and the symptoms of holiness, of walking in the way of love, they are to do with the way that we treat each other. They are to do with our journey together. They're not about just me and God. They're about us living as God's people with one another. And so we are to take off anger, to deal with our anger with others before the sun goes down. We are not to steal so that by the work of our hands we have something to contribute to those in need. We are to be careful with what we say so that our words build up those who would hear them. What a different place church would be if we only ever said things that built each other up. If we entirely refrained from conversations which included judgment and gossip and slander. We are to put off bitterness and rage and malice and put on kindness, compassion and forgiveness. That last one's really important because the way of the world is to react to pain, to hurt with vengeance. When someone does something which upsets us, to wish them harm in return, to want to retaliate, to want them to understand how we feel, to feel a bit of it themselves, And we sometimes call it justice. It would be justice if they could feel the pain that they've made me feel. But this is not God's justice. It is human revenge. And we are called to take it off and instead to put on forgiveness. We need to put on kindness. I think kindness is incredibly underrated, you know. Kindness, I think, is that at the heart of our imitation of God. Kindness, which often seems so soft and ineffectual. Kindness, I think, is a ministry of small loves. A word at the right time, a hug, asking after someone, bringing someone a cup of coffee. Kindness, not necessarily big gestures, but an abundance of small ones. Kindness is a powerful thing. Because of Jesus, we need no longer live in the old way, a way that leads ultimately to bitterness, to distrust, and to disunity. A way that leads ultimately to separation from God and to death. Because open before us is a new way to live. Open before us is a walk of love. But to walk this way is not always easy. We cannot just go with the flow, relying on our moods to dictate how we treat one another. If we just treat one another according to our moods, we will end up in disaster and disunity. I know I would. We need to deliberately clothe ourselves with the way of the Lord. We need to deliberately discipline ourselves to it. But as we do, as we work at walking in love, clothing ourselves in Christ, we will find that eventually our outward appearance reflects our inward reality. That we find ourselves new and renewed, reflecting the image of God. So let me ask you these questions. What attitudes and behaviours do you need to take off? What things might you need to put on each day in their place? It might be that the things you need to take off right now are different from the ones that you'll need to take off tomorrow. It might be that the things of God which you need to focus on clothing yourself with today will come naturally in the future and you'll need to focus on something else. But today, I want to challenge you, I want to urge you to commit yourself once more to taking off the old way, your way, the way of the world which leads to death, and to clothe yourself with a new way, with the way of Jesus, a way that leads to good fruit. This is a deliberate two-part process and you need to do both parts, to take off the old, to put on the new. And so, to help you remember to take off the old and put on the new, I've got a present for you. I've got some socks. In just a moment, I'm going to invite the band to come up and to play our last song. And as we sing, I'm going to invite you to come and take a sock. Just one, not a pair. And actually, if you can, I'm going to ask you to do something else. I'm going to ask you to leave a sock behind. There's a bin there. To take off a sock as a representative of the old way of doing things and to put on a new one, a new way. Now, I'm well aware that some of you are not wearing socks today, that will have all sorts of problems taking one off. That is absolutely fine. Just take one anyway. You don't need to take anything else off today. A sock, if you've got one, would be fine. But take one. Take a new, fresh, colourful sock to put on as a symbol of your commitment to walk the way of love. And when you've done so, they're nice and colourful deliberately, because when you get home, I want you to put it in your sock drawer. So that when you open your sock drawer first thing in the morning, you open it up and you've got one odd sock that you can't wear because it's odd, but it's bright and colourful, so you'll see it. You know, what's that for? And you'll remember that you need to deliberately take off the old way and clothe yourself with the new. Clothe yourself with Christ each day so that you too might walk in the way of love. We're going to make this taking off and putting on of socks part of our act of worship, even as we sing. So if the band want to come and play again, as they play, as we sing, please do leave a sock, take a sock, clothe yourselves with Christ.